Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And we say good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard. I am glad to be here.
Amen. I am too. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma.
And I know we have a couple callers scheduled, so I will keep an eye out for them. And looking forward to a great broadcast this evening.
Amen. Appreciate it. And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the show about deliverance. And what is deliverance? Deliverance is the process to set people free from that which has tormented them. We do thank you for joining us this evening. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to the website, deliveranceusa.com. Pretty much everything that's talked about on this program or any questions you'd have would be there on the website. And if you have any further questions, you can always contact us at the contact information on there, and we will get someone will get to you and answer your questions. Or if you'd like, you could purchase the book or get the book. We ask a $20 offering. We'll do the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox, and you can get that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. And greetings, Pastor Cox. Here we are again. Very rainy night for me. How about you? Well, it's been that way, but it's moved east, so we're supposed to get some sun tomorrow. It's headed toward the Branson area, as usual.
Yes, yes.
So how did this Monday go? It was a marvelous evening. We had 20 cases, people from all over.
I ministered to a lady. It's a missionary from Thailand. He's back here for a while and getting ready to head out in about 2 weeks back to Thailand. And sure enough, she picked up some spiritual activity and was bent over several times as these spirits were coming out. But she looked so wonderful afterwards. I mean, the usual overhaul, beaming face. And also she had back problems, and the pain level had gone down, the last I heard, to a 3 when she left from an 8, and hopefully it's gone on down to 0. I have not had a chance. I left her phone number at the office, so I didn't go in today, and I haven't had a chance to call her, but hopefully that's gone to 0. That's what we typically see, and she's entitled to that as well. It was kind of funny, on one of her legs that was short by about 3/4 inch, it came halfway out and it stopped. And that's always a clue, of course, to us as the ministers to, we're down there holding their shoes, looking at their heels, watching this. And when it stopped, I looked up at her and I said, there must be someone else you need to forgive. And what about yourself? Of course, we'd gone over all that. But I said, Holy Spirit, show her, who else? Well, she finally figured out it must be herself on something. So she voiced out. I led her through a little prayer again of forgiving herself. And praise God, the life came on out. And we've seen hundreds and hundreds of those just like that. Sometimes even more spectacular, an inch or two, you know. And they won't come out at all. So they won't even budge until they've gotten the unforgiveness out. So that, again, it just endorses the understanding that unforgiveness blocks healing. And if it blocks the adjusting in a person's body, what else does it adjust? I mean, what does it apply to? Well, cancer, lupus, and it goes on and on. So that's why we hit so heavy in our ministry sessions about trying to get the person to forgive everybody, including themselves. But it's not a perfect science, and sometimes we have to kind of go back on it and finally get there. But it is major, major important. And I've often wondered why people that specialize in healing do not seem to stress that very thought more, because we see that the reality of it, how healing blocks deliverance. The spirits won't go so many times because there's still unforgiveness. If Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors, Matthew 18:34 and 35, and we certainly see the reality of that.
Amen. And you know, a lot of times people will not forgive themselves because they feel guilt for the sins that they've committed. And, you know, I was studying and reading 1 John this evening, and right there in 1 John chapter 2, it says, first verse, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And it goes on to say about how he was a propitiation for our sins. So when we do have that sin in our lives and we do come before him and ask for forgiveness, we know that he's righteous to forgive. But it is our human nature. It's also spirits, too, that will keep us from wanting to forgive ourselves. So that is important to remember when it's forgiven. Word says as far as the east is from the west, he doesn't remember. So the only one that's reminding you of it is either one, yourself, or a spirit that's lying to you.
Yes, and the forgiving, of course, is another. That's one of the doors, but sin in our lives, unrepentant sin, is a door as well that evil spirits have come through. That's why that's another door that we attempt to close with the people that come for ministry, is to make sure they've repented of any outstanding sin and called upon the blood of Jesus to wash that away. Praise God.
That's right. It is so important to have that sin confessed, because it can hinder it just as much as it can hinder healing, just as much as a unforgiving can. It says so in James, because there in James chapter 5. It's real. You can't deny that something has to do with needing to be healed in sin sometimes, because it says if there's any sins committed, they'll forgive them when they call upon the elders to be prayed over. And, you know, as I was reading First John tonight, Pastor, I see a lot of deliverance in this book of the Bible.
Yeah, funny how it is. It's all through the New Testament, of course.
It is, but I really see it a lot, and I want to read this really quick. This is about testing the spirits, and I know Pastor's talked about this. A lot of times we have to test these spirits will speak to us because they'll try to deceive us. But it says, Jesus Christ, chapter 4, verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and this is the one I've got this highlighted, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And that's where our power, part of our power, all of our power comes from him, Jesus Christ. But this is just another testifying scripture here that we have power, and the power we have is greater than the power the enemy has.
Antichrist is actually a common spirit. Often when I get a hit demon up, I will find out they are an Antichrist spirit. Well, of course, we break that assignment in Jesus' name quickly. And I even ministered to a man even yesterday that had an Antichrist spirit. And praise God, we got it knocked on loose. Hallelujah. But they are common, and as many spirits are. Since we find usually there's a good three dozen, most people we minister to, it's, you know, we got a lot of ministering to do. There's lots of people out there carrying three dozen plus spirits blocking their lives.
It'll be interesting, this this lady that you're talking about, it's a missionary over in Thailand.
Yes.
As she goes over there, she's going to be using some of this that she's been learning over there in Thailand, because there's definitely no doubt about it, that's not a Christian nation, and there's a lot of people that can be set free over there.
Yes. I hope to get her on the show before she goes back. I'm not sure how the timing will work, but
that would be awesome.
I'll see if that'll happen.
I know that we've talked about this in the past, and we've talked personally, I believe we've talked about on the show, that as people go over to these other countries, it's a lot of times that they will bring things back over because of the fact they aren't Christian nations. And I am convinced this is part of the problems that happens with our soldiers that go over to these Muslim lands.
Oh, I'm sure.
The Far East, and they bring back these spirits, and these spirits that are Antichrist spirits are there to kill, steal, and destroy. And I've got a feeling that's a good reason we have such a high rate of suicide among our troops.
You know, that's quite possible, because they don't know to bring stuff back. I've traveled to 46 countries, both in the Navy and also as a civilian. And initially, I brought stuff back. Bicycled through Europe one summer when I was in college, and I brought a bunch of stuff back from the parents, and, you know, for gifts. And then when I went to Southeast Asia with a student group also, another summer, and I brought a bunch of stuff back from Bali and statues and stuff. And and after I learned what I know, as I got into this, into ministry and deliverance, I got rid of all that stuff, you know, because there could be curses on it and what have you. So I wanted a clean house.
Clean up the house. And, Pastor, we have our first caller, Tanya. Tanya, thank you for joining us this evening, all the way from Alaska.
Hi. Yes, thank you.
Yes, hi, Tanya. And you might back away from the cell a little bit or drop your voice a little. If it's too loud, it kind of distorts. Well, we're sure glad you called in, and know you have a testimony to share, so why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you got born again, and then how you heard about deliverance and any experiences on that you'd like to share.
great. Am I too loud right now?
Say again.
Can you hear me right now?
You might back off just a little more.
I'm going to try putting you on speaker and see if that helps.
Yeah, you don't want to be on the speaker.
No, I wasn't on the speaker, but I don't know why it's coming through so loudly. Normally people can't hear me on my phone.
Okay, that sounds real good. Now go right ahead.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. My name is Tanya, and I am a homeschooling mother of eight. I was saved as a child. I was brought up in the Southern Baptist Church, and I was saved as a child. But just a few years ago, it was really weighing on my heart to go through baptism again. So about 3.5 years ago, I was baptized by my husband. And my husband, Brad, he found out about deliverance maybe 2.5 years ago. And I just didn't know what to do with it. I just kind of stayed back and let him do his thing. And I wasn't sure what to think of it, honestly. It sounded really, just really abstract and hard, just really hard to understand, I guess. I just wasn't ready for it. And he started talking to me about deliverance and doing deliverance with me, and I just didn't really see how I could benefit from it, you know, because I feel like I live a pretty average, normal life. You know, I don't seem to have a lot of troubles, or, I mean, at least that I didn't think. But since learning all that I have over the past couple of years about deliverance and the spirit world, then my eyes have really been open to all the different ailments you can have from this, you know, physical, emotional, everything. So, anyways, I have had some really amazing revelations through deliverance. The first one being I never really had a good relationship with my stepmom. We just always fought my entire life, and I really believed deep down in my heart of hearts that she just didn't really love me. And I saw the way she loved her own children, and I just always kind of yearned and longed for that same type of love. And I just didn't really feel like she liked me very much. And, you know, anybody could have told me differently. Anybody, a therapist or anyone, and I wouldn't have believed them. I would have just said, no, you don't know my stepmom. It's really just the way the relationship is. We don't work. So it was through deliverance, my first experience, that the Holy Spirit revealed to us that my stepmother always loved me, and that I would never accept her love. Even as a small child, I was not accepting of her love. And that was just such an extreme breakthrough for me. It felt like, you know, I had just a whole ton of bricks was lifted off my shoulders, you know. And so as soon as we were done with deliverance, you know, I just had cried so much and just let so much out of me, and I decided that I was going to call my stepmom. I said, oh my God, I have to tell her, you know, I have to apologize to her, tell her I love her. Or, and she's always been very skeptical of things that I say to her, so I wasn't sure how she would receive what I had to say. So I told her, you know, a little bit about deliverance, and I was kind of skirting around the truth, and she was, of course, extremely skeptical. And finally, I just came right out with it, and I said, okay, this is what I learned. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me, is that you've always loved me, and I would never accept your love. And instantly, the phone went silent. I couldn't hear anything. And then the next thing I heard from her was sobs. She was crying. And this is a woman who most of my life, she has been agnostic. So she instantly started crying and said, "That's true. Oh, my goodness, I love you so much, and this is so true." And she right away became a believer in deliverance when I told her that. And she said, "I need deliverance." You know, she was so excited about it. And our relationship, that was just over a year ago, and our relationship has been something I never imagined that we could have since then. It has just been amazing. And I think that it could still be better. You know, she hasn't received deliverance yet. I don't know how to get her that. She lives in Southern California, so I don't know how she could get deliverance right as of yet. But I have a feeling that if she were to have deliverance, then, you know, our relationship could even be better.
Oh, that is awesome. I couldn't help but get tears in my eyes, Tanya, as you told it. Praise God. That's her Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. And there was probably an ungodly soul tie there. I imagine that you guys went through that prayer between you and her. And then her healing. That's so awesome.
And, you know, sometimes there's things that we have a hard time finding. You know, like, I know that I'm feeling troubled, and I just try to pray about it and ask God to reveal to me, you know, what do we need to rid here? You know, what kind of spirit do we need to... So I think that it's not like a one-time deal that I've learned. I mean, the spirit world is alive and active, and, you know, I feel like knowing, you know, having the tools that we've been given, you know, it's a lot easier to guard ourselves and prepare, you know, as Christians. But it's something that needs to be revisited, you know, that you need to continue with deliverance. You know, I have found so many amazing things. You know, one time, Brad, actually, he came down to Oklahoma last year, and during this time, I think several of the men were together, you know, went to Oklahoma, and I think several of the wives at home were experiencing different troubles, and me especially. It was a very difficult time for me. I was here with six children, and I was woken in the middle of the night with a kidney stone, and I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, and here in Alaska, it's cold. And at the time that Brad went, it was very cold, and you needed to start the car a good 20 minutes before you left the house, you know, to get it warmed up and everything. And I was up crying, and I couldn't get a hold of Brad. And I just thought, what am I going to do? I can't. I'm going to have to go to the hospital and leave the kids alone. And, you know, they're going to give me medications that will interfere with my breast milk. And, you know, I was really torn not wanting to go to the hospital. But my pain was excruciating. And, in fact, my pain was moving around, and I had wondered even if it was appendicitis or something. I mean, it was just this really excruciating pain. And so I decided, well, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. And so I got up, and here it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went and turned on the car, and I jumped in the shower because I thought, I'm not going to go to the hospital. I'm going to take a shower. So as I was in the shower, I was just talking to God, and I was just saying, "Dear God, you know, take this pain from me. Dear God, please, please don't just take this pain from me. And as I was saying it, my pleas became more powerful, and I just realized that I had this, you know, I wasn't even thinking deliverance or anything about deliverance. I just said, pain, go. I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. And I just commanded the pain right out. And just then I could hear my phone buzzing on the counter outside of the shower. And I thought, oh my gosh, okay, Brad's probably calling. And I just, you know, reached out and dried my hand and grabbed the phone. And by that time that I had gotten my phone, I answered and I said, hello, Brad. Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. And I started like giggling, you know, giddy with laughter. And I said, I have been under the worst, you know, I've been in the worst pain, and it's just gone all of a sudden. You know, I had this immense pain, and I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital, and this had gone on for a good couple of hours. And then just right at that very moment that I realized, you know, that I had the power and authority to make it go, it just left, like, with a snap of a finger. So that was amazing.
Praise God. That's using your power that you've been given from the cross to direct it, directly address it, commanding that spirit of pain to go. And it was especially suspicious when it was moving in your body. That sounds just like a spirit moving around, tormenting with the pain. So you hit it right on. Good work, gal. That's awesome. That's our Jesus.
Yeah, that was very awesome. I wish that I could remember that all the time. I don't.
Yeah,
it's not always that amazing, you know. Sometimes I feel like I put myself through trouble for days on end before, you know, I realize, wait a minute, this isn't, you know, this is spiritual.
Right. You know, it's hard to train ourselves to transition to this mode of going into the attacking instead of praying to the Father in Jesus' name to do something. It finally soaks in over a period of time that we truly have been given the power of attorney to speak in the name of Jesus. Exactly what he told us in the scriptures, of course, that we are to do his works in his name, that we can speak in Jesus' name at these directly, and that's what you did, commanding that spirit of pain to go. And it went. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That was amazing.
Thank you, Jesus.
And this week, you know, I've had a little bit of anxiety this week, and I didn't even know, just kind of came out of the blue. We have had some stumbling blocks thrown in our way this week, and we certainly got a few things to worry about, but, you know, we probably don't really need to worry, and I've just had unnecessary anxiety, and it's just been ongoing all this week, and meanwhile, there's also a lot going on around us, just in our little town that we live in. And two separate incidents within a two-hour time span, two men tried to commit suicide. And then another, just like a lot of bizarre situations like that, someone I know in Florida on that very same day commit suicide. And it's just all these things coming our way that you know, has just given me such grief and anxiety, and I just, you know, I've had a very difficult time dealing with it. But today I went and saw my naturopath and talked to her about my supplements, and when I left, I just had this burning desire to go see my friend. I said, you know, I just need to drive right over to my friend's house right now and talk this out. And I went over, and she's also a wonderful friend who has been involved with deliverance for many years now. I don't know, probably close to 10 years she's been involved in deliverance. And so she's a wonderful person. person to talk to. So I just stopped by and I said, you know, what is going on with me? What is this anxiety about? And, you know, I started telling her about all the other experiences and things that were on my mind. And she just said, you know, Tanya, I think that you're a very intuitive person and that you're just picking up on all these negative forces at work right now. And it's causing the anxiety. And just then, as you said it, you know, my body just got covered in goosebumps. And her dog, she has this little Australian Shepherd who's kind of not really my friend, but she is trying. But that her dog just immediately came right on me, just walked right onto my body, just onto my lap, and stuck her face right in my face. And I thought, oh, gosh. And even my friend, she said, oh, wow. You know, it was just really bizarre how right at that moment when I had all these goosebumps and my friend didn't know I was covered in goosebumps, and then our dog came there, and I just felt like such an immense energy. And I just said, oh, my goodness, you know, this is, you're right. You know, there's, we're under spiritual attack, and I've just been picking up on that. And I think the anxiety was kind of, you know, just being fearful and running from it when I realized that God has us and we have power and authority through Him, and that we can just stop and be in His presence and be strong through Him, and, you know, that we don't really have anything to fear.
Yes. So did you come against it finally as a possible spirit, anxiety?
I have not officially come against it. I just knew, and I felt wonderful. I have been very peaceful since having that revelation that,
it probably left even here,
and my husband was at work, so we'll probably, you know, when I get off the phone here, have some prayer and come against it.
Yes, and of course, what we learn is you'll know a spirit by what it's trying to do. So whatever the function is, like anxiety or fear, panic attacks, anger problems, whatever is going on that seems to be above some, you know, normal level or whatever, but it's time to come against it. And often it might have come through some door of unforgiveness or fear, but that's the way the game works. And as you said earlier, it's ongoing. We're in the war zone. And praise mm-hmm. God, we've been given these tools and weapons from the cross to deal with it directly in Jesus' name. And I'm always saying, when you shoot, you win. So
mm-hmm.
I guess anything that raises its ugly head, Tanya, the idea would be commanded to go in Jesus' name, you know. It's the mm-hmm. bullets are free, and it's better to overpray than underpray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so exciting to get hold of this, and the Christian body overall doesn't have much of a understanding of it. It's really sad. As I look around, it looks like 90-95% of the Christian body in America, anyway, doesn't have much understanding about demons or who we are in Jesus with the power we've been given to deal with them. And we all have a long ways to go. That's why we're doing the show tonight, is try to get the word out that there are answers here, that so that we can live life abundant. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think any mention of spirits or the spirit world, I think that Christians tend to, you know, they run like it's the plague. You know, I think they're just so afraid of that, of the unknown. And I'm just so thankful for deliverance in our life. And, you know, we have 8 children, and, you know, we can continue to spread it. And I'm
yes.
so thankful for the work that you guys do. You know, if anyone, I just really hope that the message, the word just gets out there, and more people come to realize that it really is for all Christians. You know, the average Joe,
yes.
you don't have to have any, you know, crazy stories or reasons for needing deliverance. I think if you're just alive in this world, you know, living this day and age, then we all are exposed to, you know,
and can you,
the reasons
can you
for deliverance.
What you can do, look how you can pray over your children now with what you're learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a marvelous thing to get hold of, to pray over your children. Children are often bothered by the spirits as well. We minister to quite a few children at Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City, and it would be the same everywhere, of course. So you can keep a watchful eye and minister over them as it's needed in the future. What a great
mm-hmm.
asset is that. Yeah.
That is wonderful.
Well,
what are some things that you might look for children to know? I mean, is it just mood or behavior?
Whatever seems to be out of balance and tormenting, again, fear, anxiety, anger, violence, you know, things that are out of balance, be suspicious. Well, we're actually out of time. I know we have the second call.
Yes,
okay. Probably waiting.
Tanya.
So,
Donnie, thank
well,
you.
Thank you so much.
It was good to hear that testimony. I was in Oklahoma City when you had the stones problems, and I'd forgotten about that. So it was good to hear that again.
Oh yeah.
And just remember to cancel the assignments that are coming against you. Brad's getting ready to leave again, and I think the enemy is just trying to derail it. So I will definitely keep you in extra prayer. Thank you for
thank
calling.
Thank you so much. All right. Have a good
blessings morning. To you. Bye-bye.
Pastor, we have Chris on the line. Chris, thank you for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, good. Great, Chris.
Hear you
glad
little...
you called in. Yes,
you
thank
okay?
you for calling, and yes, I hear you fine.
Okay,
why don't
deal.
You go ahead and give some history on yourself, Chris, and when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance and then experiences that have taken place.
Okay. My name is Chris Garcia, and I live in Oklahoma, Tecumseh, Oklahoma. Anyway, long story short, I got a great testimony, a rough testimony, but a great testimony. At the age of 10, started going to church and gave my heart to God, and then was doing, you know, the kid thing. And then got a little older, and I'm going to get right into this because it's going to be kind of long, so I'm going to try to put it in there. But at the age of 14, I got into pornography. And the reason this happened is because of my dad had Playboy books. And that's how I got access to them. And ended up, when they would leave, you know, I would go to the closet, pull the Playboy books out, and that's how it started. And this went on for a while, and you slowly, you know, you want more. So next thing you know, by that time, that's when he started getting cable and stuff. And I'd watched my dad steal cable and as a kid. And so I started stealing it. So by the time they would leave, I would fix the box and watch Playboy Channel, Escapade, all that trash like that. And this went on for many years. Nobody ever knew. And I tried to stop. The devil had a hold of me. Just couldn't seem to put it down. And I'm going to jump ahead, way ahead. To about 16, 17, I had prophecies that I was going to be a great man of God. God was going to do amazing things in my life and all this kind of stuff. But he couldn't do it because I had a problem in my life. Everybody thought I was a Christian, you know. And behind closed doors, though, I did other things. And so this kept on going on. And I'm 47 now. In 2013, God actually flipped me around. About a year, 16 months before that, I had told my wife, nobody ever knew but a youth pastor friend of mine, and she was my accountability partner, and my mom was my accountability partner, and they stood with me, And I told him, I said, I won't lie to you. I said, if you ask me how things are going, you know, and I'll tell you. And so they did, and I went good. Well, about, like I said, in that 16 months, about 3 months past that, I started slipping real bad. And so I sat in my firm room, and I told God, I said, I'm done. I said, I'm not going to do this again. I want to bust out wide open. That's fine. And I just realized what I told God. And so I started crying like a baby. I said, unless you take this addiction away, I said, you've got to take homeless ministry in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And then ended up moving me to Newcastle, going to Newcastle Church. And I met a friend about 3 weeks ago in God's Center. It was a direct appointment. And we was talking. Anyway, she told me about the deliverance. And I'll backtrack. And I went to ministry school. I just got out of ministry school. I mean, so God has totally just changed my life. That's for sure. Anyway, so the deliverance class, she was telling me about it. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty neat, you know, because God's calling me to the brokenhearted. I mean, the homeless, the street people. That's what I feel my calling's to at this time. And anyway, so I went there, and I listened to Everett, and I took it to heart. And I'd actually went backwards, though. I went the first time, and I went to the wrong class. And so this past Monday, I actually went to the deliverance class. And God just knew what he was doing. But anyway, I had a friend. She looked at me, and she goes, well, are you going to do that? And I said, no, I'm good. You know, I said, I don't know the deliverance. And anyway, the Holy Spirit started dealing with me. It was like, are you good? And I was like, I think I am. Anyway, I had my friend that told me about the place. I had her pray for me. And she said, basically, God, you bring up anything to his remembrance. If he does got any, you know, unforgiveness or any of these things. Well, she did. And the next day, all of a sudden, I was just thinking about it, and all of a sudden, things I didn't want to remember. And God starts pulling stuff out. And then the Holy Spirit told me to call her, and so she could do a deliverance class with me. And so I did, and she did. And God's so awesome. If, guys, you need this class, everybody, you know, if you don't, if you never tried, if you never heard deliverance, it will bless everybody. Everybody, even pastors. I mean, you need to take this class because there's things up in there that you have no clue that you might have, and it's going to hinder you. And that's exactly what happened to me. All of a sudden, we started praying over all the things, and I mean, God just started breaking stuff loose. And I'm free. I mean, I know for sure I'm free. And of certain things, I've found some unforgiveness I had toward my dad, unforgiveness I had of homosexual tendencies. Back when I was 16, I was molested. These kind of things. And I kept that bottled up inside, and it was eating me alive, and I didn't understand that. So I hid that stuff down deep, 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 deep. Anyway, but God brought it all out whenever my friend was doing a deliverance. And God is so good, so gracious. You know, no matter where you're at, God is there.
Amen. Amen. And it sounds like you're getting serious now about really learning how to do this. Is that true,
Chris? Yes, I am.
Chris?
Very, very much so. I want to learn how to help other people this way. Because I was telling my mom today, I was telling her what happened. I said, I'm free. And then the Holy Spirit told me, he said, now I can fully use you. That was pretty neat. That was yesterday. He told me, he said, now, since you've done this, since you've got everything out, I can totally, fully use you how I want to use you. Because I thought I was already good. But he was like, you know. So, yes. Yes, I do. I'm on fire for God, and I want to see many people, you know, broken people fixed by Jesus, you know. And Jesus, he's a fixer. He'll fix you up if you let him, you know.
Amen. If you'll allow him, that's correct. Some people, they had not reached out. You know, you do have to reach out, as you did. At some
you can't sit there like a rock and not do nothing and expect something to happen. That's just like, you know, what's that old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, you know?
Right.
You've got to reach out. And like I said, that's the best thing I've ever done. And like I said, I mean, stuff was broken off. I mean, some of the words, when I was young, when I was a kid, I've always had real bad stuttering problems growing up my whole life. Even through high school, I had to take speech classes.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to say bullying, like forgive my bullying, the people that bullied me and that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. I couldn't even get it out. That's how strong it was. And I had no idea that was in me. And same with my dad. My dad did stuff to me. And whenever I was trying to say I forgive him, and I thought I was done. I thought I was good. But whenever I was trying to say, you know, I forgive him, I mean, I couldn't. It took me 3 or 4 times to get it out. Because I was just started bawling, you know.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And that's how powerful your ministry that God has blessed you with and showed you how to do this stuff for, what, 30-something years, right?
40 years now for me with ministry.
44
okay. years old.
I mean, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm just reaching out to you people, and you need to know this needs to get out, how important this is, because everybody's going to be thinking you're okay, and you're not. Like I said, that's why I said, you know, even ministers need this stuff. Because, you know, ministers are probably thinking, oh, I'm okay. I mean, I'm a minister. God's called me to be a minister. And I'm thinking, I'm okay. But no, I had deep hurts down deep, deep, deep that your class is the only thing that got them out, you know.
Praise
it's definitely
God.
Deliverance, that's
yeah.
for sure. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you,
yeah.
Jesus.
And, you know, you're no different than the majority of people, Chris.
No.
Think how many more are just like you. With deep stuff that they've
mm-hmm.
got down there deep that from years ago, and they've carried it all these years, and their spirits that have come in accordingly, and they're tormented
right.
and harassed. Think how many
yep.
are like that. They're everywhere around us. Again, most of them don't know. They think they're okay.
No.
Like you were saying, I'm good.
Yeah.
They're not good.
You know, if you let the Holy Spirit talk to you, it's like, no, you're not either. That's what I said. It's like, are you? And I was like, okay. Well, maybe I'm not, you know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're going to be in earnest now and really going through the training.
Yes, sir. I sure am. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm on fire for God. Like I said, I can't wait to get, you know, get more training and learn this stuff so I can help other people.
Yeah.
can everywhere you go, you can take this with you. I mean, you don't have to be in your class, you know what I'm saying? It's a good thing
absolutely.
You want to be in there, but I'm just saying, like I said, I felt called to a street ministry and stuff. And the homeless, you know, you can help them with that kind of stuff. Wherever God needs me, you know what I'm saying?
The deal is, it would be a rare person. It's not carrying several dozen spirits. We've seen that over and over for decades. And here we are with the tools and the weapons to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a drop in the bucket when it gets down to it and thinking of the millions of Christians here, even in the United States, particularly the United States, that don't have much of an understanding of this. And they cope. But they're sure not living life abundant that Jesus meant for them to have. Well, you get delivered,
right.
get these spirits out of you, and you start living life abundant. And your God-given
mm-hmm.
gifts are able to go forward finally you know, not being hindered by these several dozen spirits. I say at that
point,
that's
why
Jesus
it excited me so much when the Holy Spirit told me that. He said, now, like I said, he said, now I can use you fully like I want to. And I was like, wow, you know, God, you're so awesome.
Praise God.
You're such a great God that you love us that much, you know. Because like I said, this was divine informant, me meeting this lady, and, you know, I know it was, you know, nobody could tell me different. Because, one matter of fact, I skipped the point, I'll back up real quick. Whenever she called me and asked me if I wanted to go to your class. And I said, well, I got some stuff to do tonight. And all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, I want you to go to those classes. And I was like, Lord, I'm busy, I don't have time to... And basically, I tried to argue with him, and I don't know why I do that, because he always wins. But anyway, but he said, in the next several weeks, I want you to go to these classes. And little did I know it, you know, of course, he's always got a reason. You know, we don't see, but I'm thank God I listen, because now I'm totally free, you know, and he can do with me what he wants.
Praise God. That's our Jesus. Well, in winding up here, any last word to share to the listeners before we hang up with you?
I tell you what, listeners, never give up. No matter what you come against, no matter how bad the devil tries to come against you, don't you stop. Don't you lay down for nothing. When he comes to your mind and tries to put stuff in your mind, you use the word like you're supposed to. You use prayer, and you come against him in Jesus' name. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he can't do nothing but run away.
Demons got to
flee.
You got it, brother.
In Jesus' name.
You sound like me. You believe it.
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir.
He's on
I believe it.
Jesus.
That's for sure.
Thanks so much. The scripture I read this evening, greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world.
He is in the world.
And,
come on now.
You're right, Chris. Resist the devil, and he will flee. And be on alert, because he is a roaring lion. You know, it's thank you for your testimony. It's so funny. There are actually Christians out there that believe once you're saved, you don't have to worry about anything. And I try to remind who are these books written to? You know, Peter wasn't writing it to a bunch of pagans. James wasn't writing to a bunch of pagans. John wasn't writing to a bunch of pagans. They were writing to people that were saved, and it was a warning for it. And you are right.
Exactly.
When he comes against you, it's time to fight back. And that's the devil, the Satan, the demons. They want you to believe that you are a target, because that makes you an easier target.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and... hey, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Always hang on to that.
Yes,
amen. That's a great I am, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I am professional. Well, Chris, you still got a couple minutes. Is there anything else you want to give?
I can't hear you all of a sudden.
I said, Chris, we still have a few more minutes for the show ends. You got about... two or three more minutes. If you'd like anything else to say, feel free to. You've got the mic.
Okay. Forgive. You know,
or not.
Always love. You know, God loved us so much that he died for us. Okay? And you've got to love people. Our God can't love you. I mean, you know, he's not going to accept us if we don't love, you know, and for unforgiveness. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, you know, you ain't going to make it to heaven. So, you know, so this is all plays in this deliverance. You know, loving people, unforgiveness, these kinds of things. You've got to have this stuff out, totally out. Or, you know, I know I'm striving to get to where heaven is, you know, and that's what I'm striving for, and I'm believing I'm going to make it. I ain't giving up no matter what. And God is good, God is great, and but no matter what, you've got to love people. You know, it says in the Word, basically, love, 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 you know, and that's what you got to do. And is it hard? Sometimes, yeah, it's hard to love people. I mean, look at Jesus. What did he do? Look what they did to him. They put him on a cross, and he loved them. You know, so it goes all the way, you know, to your spouse, to your kids. You know, it don't matter how they treat you at times. God wants us to love. And we lost our son December 2nd, 2015. And it has put a big major stress on things, on the marriage. Everything, it goes all around. He was 23, long story short, okay? And, but in that, I have had to love, you know. I have learned to love, and God has basically told me he was going to let me go through this, so where he was taking me, so I can love the homeless, so I can love the broken people. You see what I'm saying? And I've learned,
yes.
I've had to do that, you know. And praise God, we're still together. The devil has tried to destroy my marriage, and but because of God and because of love, because of me, I listen to the Holy Spirit. He's like, you love. You know, that's what I've had to do. And I'm not the only one. You know, if people listen to God and these things happen, that's what you have to do. Because when a death of a loved one, you lose, you know, it tears families apart so bad. You know, you see it time after time where they get divorced because they didn't make it. You know, so keep the Holy Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people, like, don't believe in it. Well, they believe in certain things of it, but I don't know how they don't make it without the Holy Spirit, because he tells me to do so many things all the time. He talks to me all the time, and I know a lot of people are sometimes closer to the Holy Spirit than other people, or listen to God better than other people. But just put it out there, you know, start praying. God, use me, you know. But I'm going to tell you, if you do this, you better be ready, because God will open the doors for you, and you're going to go, whoa. What are you doing to me? I'm getting you out of your comfort zone, you know, and it's not going to stop. You better get ready, because
that's
what I did, you know, when I said, okay, God, now it's your turn. And boy, he started opening all kinds of stuff up, and I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? And he's like, you know, this is what you asked for. And I'm like, you know what, you're right. So if you ask for it, you better be ready.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Fantastic.
God bless you, brother.
Everybody, thank you for joining us this evening, and we will see you next week. God bless, and have a good evening.
10 verse 19.